Refresh the summer vibes with Tic Tac and you could win a Lollapalooza VIP experience in Chicago. Visit TicTacSummer.com for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of 50 U.S. states and D.C. 18 plus. Ends June 30th, 2024. Void in PR and where prohibited. See TicTacSummer.com for rules and free entry without UPC.
At KPMG, our people make the difference. Combining the power of people and technology, we uncover brighter insights, innovate bolder solutions, and create better data-driven outcomes. KPMG, make the difference.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello, and welcome. This is Talk the Plank, episode 41, a Pittsburgh Pirates podcast on SB Nation's Bucks Dugout. I'm Nathan Hirsch, and today we got Jake here. Radio Jake, what's going on?
Oh, dude, nothing much. I had myself a fine Sunday, played a softball game with some friends, and in the midst of it, heard that our man Yoshi Tsutsugio walked it off against the division rival Cards. It's a great day in Bucks Nation. How was your Sunday, Nate?
Not too bad. I worked earlier, and I've just kind of been chilling out for the rest of the day. How'd you do in softball? Hit any taters?
I came close a few times, but I made a diving catch to end it all, so I'll take that instead of a
All right. Good stuff. Yeah. Exciting game from the Pirates today. I mean, it really wasn't all that exciting until the last inning, but they walk it off in the ninth. Yoshi hits a three-run bomb to give the Pirates a 4-3 win. The Pirates are now 48-83, and by Pirates standards, they're on a bit of a hot streak right now. They've won six out of their last 10 games. So anytime the Pirates beat the Cardinals, it's a good day. Split this series, two wins, two losses, but overall against the Cardinals, they won, what is it, four of their last seven, so you love to see that. And sandwiched in between those Cardinals series were obviously the Diamondbacks series, in which the Pirates won two out of three. Still couldn't get the sweep. Still no sweeps this year, but pretty good day in Bucko land, like you said, with the walk-off home run. Alex Reyes blew the save, walked two batters, and then Yoshi came up, got a cement mixer slider, and he destroyed that ball. So, three-run shot, not quite in the river, but it was out of the park. It was a really majestic blast, and it was a good win for the old Buccos. Anytime you see St. Louis blow a game like that, you'll love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, nothing feels better than taking a series from a division rival, especially one like the Cardinals. But, you know, I got to give credit where credit's due. Yoshi Tsutsugo is one of and I know it's still early, and we all know the Nogowski effect, how he kind of tatered off. But I love this whole Tsutsugo pickup that we've had. And Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette actually made a really good point about Tsutsugo. I'd have to find it. Amongst his various tweets today. Oh yeah, he's got a 1.407 OPS this month, and I think that's actually the best on the team in recent memory. So he's doing his job. I know his batting average says otherwise, but at the same time, he's doing really well, and I think he's fitting in well with the Pirates. And I think I think this whole change of scenery for him from the Dodgers to Pittsburgh, I think helps a lot. And it, I wrote a story about that on Buck's Dugout a few weeks ago, that with the difference in pitching that the NL Central brings, you know, not too many pitchers that are focused on heat, more or less, right, you know, location and break. I think Setsugo could fare well with that just because he's seen a lot of that over in the KBO and, you know, all these other areas that he played in. So I think this, it was a right move by the Pirates to go and get him, and he's making it look really good by now. I hope it, you know, he keeps on doing what he does and that he continues to fit in with the Pirates, because I would love to see, you know, say the DH comes to the NL in a year or two, I would love to see Yoshi Setsugo fit in that place. Obviously that's still up for discussion, but yeah, I loved watching him play. I love the way the Pirates handled the series. I know yesterday was a bit of a bleak night and sort of, you know, it didn't help us at all, you know, gain momentum for today. But overall, we bounced back really well. Another player I want to shout out, Chad Kuhl, ever since his move to the bullpen,
yeah,
has looked sharp from there. And I think you and I both saw this coming, that he would be more utilized efficiently as a bullpen guy. And he's making that move look really well. And that's just judging from his string of starts where he'd do fine for a few innings. And then as the game evolved, he started crumbling a little bit. So I think this move to the bullpen sort of helped him. It helped the Pirates tenfold, I would say, because long relief is something they desperately needed. And with Chad Kuhl, his effectiveness, I think it was a good move. So he helped in the win today. David Bednar obviously looked sharp. Chris Stratton, 5-0 on the season right now. He's still looking good.
That surprised me. That was funny.
Wait, Chris Stratton getting the win?
No, just the fact that he's 5-0 undefeated. Obviously, records don't matter, but that's just funny to me. Struck out the side too. Looks sharp.
Yeah, and he's looked sharp all season long. Unfortunately, though, one of the bad things, Key Brian Hayes, another wrist injury. Luckily, it's just a contusion after evaluation. They're going to keep looking at it. But, man, Key Brian Hayes, do we start thinking about him as maybe an injury threat?
I mean, it's a good question. I just think this season, this has kind of been a lost year for him. I mean, he has played pretty well, like, when he plays. But, yeah, you know, missed the first few months, and now he's probably going to miss a little bit of time. Even if they shut him down for the rest of the year, I wouldn't mind all that much. But I just think we'll see next year. Hopefully he can have a nice, clean, healthy season next year. But right now, I think it'd be all right just to shut him down a little bit. We'll see how serious it is, though. But yeah, just mentioning Yoshi, you said it. The sample size is obviously really small, and he has to do it for longer. 27 plate appearances before today's game, but yeah, he was slugging 1,000 before today's game, and that probably went up a little higher after the home run today. He's going to be a free agent this offseason. I really would like to see the Pirates bring him back, like you said, as a DH perhaps, plays first base. Probably not the greatest outfielder, but I mean, if you're in the lineup and you're hitting the way that he's hit for the Pirates so far, you got to get him in the lineup any way you can. But yeah, 333, 407, 1,000 on the slugging. That was before today's game, and you kind of compared him to Nogalski a little bit. The big difference, I would say, is just that Yoshi's got pop. Nogalski, it was fun. He hit some singles, but with Yoshi, he can hit the home run, and hopefully he keeps that going. Like we said, 27 plate appearances before today, but we'll see. I mean, they're going to get a nice look at him as the season draws to a close, and perhaps at worst, like when you kind of project a future role for him, at worst, I would say he's a power threat off the bench, so... and he's been hitting pinch hit home runs too. So that's fun. And, yeah, hit the home run today to win it. I don't know if you saw, but someone posted the Cardinals broadcast of that walk-off home run, and just the disappointment in his voice was just so delicious. I loved hearing it. It was great, but yeah. Chad Kuhl in the bullpen. Heck yes. Long relief. 2 innings today. Only gave up a hit. He definitely has super reliever ace type talent, especially out of the bullpen. He can ramp it up even more. Although I will say, as a starter, he always ramped it up anyway. I don't think he's ever held anything back. But get that fastball in the mid to high 90s. That'd be nice. His slider is nice, obviously. And yeah, adding Cole to the bullpen, I mean, it definitely revamped the bullpen, because after trading Rich Rod and Austin Davis and what other bullpen piece did they trade? Someone else.
Clay Holmes,
which, whatever. But Cole has definitely revamped this bullpen, and it's starting to look closer to the beginning of the season bullpen, I would say, rather than how it was about a month ago. It's still not good, obviously, but Cole in the bullpen is definitely nice, for sure. And speaking of the Austin Davis trade, Michael Chavis has been pretty nice with the Buccos so far. Just looking it up right now. Didn't play today, I don't believe. No, he didn't play today.
No, he got hurt, I think, yesterday, and I think they're just keeping him out for precaution.
Yeah, day to day. But, yeah, so far with the Pirates, once again, only 22 plate appearances, but 364 average, 591 slugging. Hasn't walked yet, so the on-base is the same as the average. But he had a home run. He has a few doubles. So he's looked nice, too, and I like him at second base. It kind of adds a little pop at a position where you don't normally see that type of pop. He kind of gives me some Dan Uggla vibes. Not quite as big in the biceps, but just a power threat at second base and first base, too. That's also where he could play. But I've liked what I've seen from him. Some of these new Buccos, I mean, not too shabby. Not too shabby. Cole Tucker got called up. And we should also mention that we kind of did the Gregory Polanco See You Later pod on the last one, episode 40. You can check that out. But officially released. And it pretty much had to happen. I'm a bit sad, but it is what it is. Basically, we covered everything on the last podcast when it comes to Gregory Polanco. But just want to throw in that I hope he finds a role with another team and has success. I will be rooting for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good guy. A lot of people love him. Obviously, a good clubhouse mindset to have. And you know, that was one of the things they talked about with his release, as his mentality during this rough stretch with the Pirates. You know, he's been pretty much through the ringer, no matter what, both personally and with the team. But yet, he kept a positive mindset every which way. So I got to give it to him for that. I think no matter where he goes, he's going to be well respected by just about everybody on that team. I'm not sure who exactly would pick him up just because of his numbers. And, I mean, dude's injured a lot, but I hope that he does find a team to go to relatively soon, and hopefully a contender, because dude deserves, and I hate saying this because I know I'm probably going to get a lot of flack for it, but the guy deserves a championship of some sort just because of all the work he put in over the years and all the shit he took from all of us Pirates fans and stuff and, you know, all that other stuff. He may have sucked for the Pirates, but he's still deserving of a shot. And I wonder, and Nathan, you might be able to answer this. Why did they ultimately release him now when they could have just DFA'd him however long ago and all that? Is it just because, you know, maybe the deadline's a little closer to August 31st? And I think that's when, if somebody signs a player, could be playoff, he might be eligible for playoffs.
Yeah. I think that's the big thing. Obviously, whenever he was put on waivers and no team claimed him, I'm pretty sure, obviously, the Pirates did not want that getting out, and it kind of leaked, and that created the story with him. But I think the main thing, you kind of said it yourself, is if a team picks him up, he would be playoff eligible, which, I mean, we'll see if a team picks him up. I'm sure a team will. I really hope so. I mean, he's going to play again. I don't know if it's going to be this season, but definitely like next year. Kind of mentioned it before, he's going to get a minor league contract, and he'll go from there. But yeah, I don't know. It was, the whole thing was strange in general, how the first report leaked that he was on waivers, and then not even a week later, he gets just straight up released. And then I did kind of feel bad. His comments about how, you know, it sucks getting booed. It sucks when the fans aren't with you. But on the other hand, he was just flat out terrible, and he has been pretty much since his terrible shoulder injury. But we'll see what happens. I'm rooting for him. But, yeah, if you can't catch on with the Pirates, there's not a lot of teams that you could probably catch on with. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I think you provide a good explanation for that. You know, who knows? I'm sure a team will take a waiver on him in the offseason, take a flyer, try to rejuvenate his career a little bit, and I think he could. He's just got to have the right mindset, and I think a fresh change of scenery, I think, will do him justice. So I wish Gregory Polanco the best of luck. Hopefully he takes his cup of coffee somewhere else and does pretty well for them. So, yeah.
For sure. Another thing that I really enjoyed about beating the Cardinals is we are helping to decrease their playoff odds. At 66-63 right now, they're 3.5 games back of the final wild card spot. Cincinnati currently has that second spot. They jumped San Diego, which very surprising to me, but I want to see San Diego beat out the Reds for that last spot. And I definitely, if there was a team that I had to pick to not make it at all, it would be the Cardinals first and foremost. But hopefully the Padres can jump the Reds. But yeah, it's just nice to beat the Cardinals. It really is, because they get so bent out of shape. Fans do anytime they lose, and they have such a superiority complex of, oh yeah, we're the Cardinals. they suck. Their team sucks. You lost to the Pirates 4 out of 7 games in a week and a half span. You suck. So go Buccos. Cardinals suck. Just wanted to point that out. We can look ahead to the schedule here. The Pirates have an off day tomorrow. And then, fun little series, they go to the White Sox for 2 games, I believe, starting Tuesday. Yeah, it'll be Tuesday and Wednesday. Not a great pitching matchup for the Pirates in either. They have to face off against the White Sox, pretty much 2 best pitchers, and Lucas Giolito Tuesday night. He'll oppose Bryce Wilson, who, another trade guy. I've liked what I've seen from Wilson. He hasn't been, like, super great, but there's some things to like in his game. And then on Wednesday, we get to see the Mitch Keller experience against Carlos Rodon, who has really rejuvenated his career this season. He's 10-5 with a 2.43 ERA, 163 strikeouts in how many innings? 114 innings. He's been really good. Limiting walks as well, just 31 walks. Rodon has been great. So it's going to be a tough little series for the Pirates. If I had to guess, they're not going to win either game. But maybe they can get to Giolito a little bit. As we remember, he no-hit the Pirates last season. But I'm pretty sure the Pirates saw Giolito earlier this year. Yep, they did. He went 6 innings, gave up 2 earned. So not completely dominant, but he pitched pretty well. The Pirates actually won that game, though, 6-3. So we'll see what happens. And then after that series, looking ahead a little further, the Pirates will be at Wrigley to take on the Cubs. The new look, no stars Cubs, 4-game series. So we'll see what happens there. We'll see if the Pirates can take advantage of the Cubs, who are not really good. They suck too. In August, how many straight games did they lose there at the beginning of the month? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. They lost 12 straight games. Lately they've been a little bit better, but yeah. They're not good either. So we'll see if the Pirates can stack up some wins there. It's probably not going to be great against the White Sox, but the Cubs will see. So yeah, that's a fun little 6-game road trip in Chicago only. Pirates are going to be in Chicago all next week, so that's kind of fun, I guess.
I mean, yeah, I think that Cubs series is going to be the best time for us. I think the Cubs, yeah, they're actually less than 10 games ahead of us in the standings. So wouldn't it be funny if the Cubs lose out, Pirates somehow usurp them in the standings and take fourth out of instead of fifth? I think that right there should deserve a title in of itself. But the White Sox, that's going to be a bit of a rough patch of things. I'm actually going to go the optimistic route. I think we are going to have trouble against Giolito, but I'll say we actually do pretty well against Rodon. I mean, we play down to teams that suck against us, but then we somehow step up to teams that are better than us. And
sometimes, yeah.
And I think this is going to be an area where we do that. It's going to be tough. It's not like we're going to blow out Rodon, but I mean, he's coming off an injury, isn't he, Rodon?
I believe so. Yeah, he was injured for a while there.
So I will take that and run with it and say that I think the Pirates are going to do pretty well against him. Giolito obviously giving us a bit of trouble. I do want to see Bryce Wilson get his first win as a Pirate, though. I think that'd be nice to see. I think Chicago, I think we're going to see Dylan Peters. Wow, yeah, because they're both in Chicago. I think the Cubs, we're going to see Dylan Peters get his first win in a Pirates uniform. He's actually been pretty good for us lately.
All right.
I don't know about like what you think about him, but I'm very impressed with what I'm seeing from Dylan Peters so far.
Yeah, he's been pretty good. Nice little lefty in the rotation. You love to see that. What day did he pitch? It was...
Was it Friday?
Yeah, he pitched Friday, got the loss, but how did he do in that game? Let me just see here. I'm looking it up. In that game, he went 5, gave up 3 earned, didn't walk anyone. You love to see that. He's been all right with the Pirates, him and Bryce Wilson, who I'm looking at right now. Bryce Wilson, 3.60 ERA with the Buccos. Let's see, Dylan Peters here. Dylan Peters has started how many games? 3 games with the Pirates, 14 2/3 innings, 3.07 ERA in that small sample size. 10 strikeouts to just 4 walks. Not a ton of strikeouts, but yeah, he's been all right. He's been a nice little innings eater for the Pirates in his short time here. And we're at the point of the season where you just see what guys can do what. And Peters is one of those guys. I'd rather see someone like Dylan Peters than, say, I don't know, I'm just trying to think of
Cody Ponce.
Crappy pitchers that, yeah, sorry, Cody, but yeah, Cody Ponce. Yeah, for sure. So, I will say the Pirates schedule was pretty brutal in August to an extent. You know, they played Milwaukee a bunch of times, they played the Dodgers, handled St. Louis, but they played the Giants. Oh, no, that was July. St. Louis, yeah. I just want to say the schedule coming up is it gets a little light. After the White Sox, like I said, 4 with the Cubs, all winnable. Then they come home and host Detroit. Those are winnable. Although Detroit's been like sneakily kind of good this year. They're 62-69. So we'll see what happens. The Pirates played Detroit earlier this season, I remember. And, didn't lose all of the games. They won some. But Detroit, and then they host Washington, who traded their good players, so they kind of stink too. 3 with Cincinnati, that'll be tough. Cincinnati has just kicked the crap out of the Pirates all year long. But then they go to Miami, another pretty bad team. 3 more with Cincinnati. At Philly, which Philly...
They're far, hit or miss.
Yeah, hit or miss, you're right. And then more with the Cubs, and they end the season at Cincinnati. But the schedule in September it's not that tough. I'm not going to say the Pirates are going to win more games than they lose, but there's a chance that they can hover around 500 or so for the month. And those overbetters, over 59.5, we've been keeping tabs on it all year long. It's going to be tight. It's going to be tight going down to it. The Pirates right now, what are they, 48 and 83. So just do a quick little math here. 48 plus 3, 48 divided by 131 times 162. Okay, they're on a 59 win pace exactly right now.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens. We'll see if they can get that over. I would like to see them get 6 wins at least. I would like to see them not lose 100 games. That would be fine too. I think in terms of supporting the tank, pretty much, the Pirates are, I would say, they're sitting there in that fourth spot. And the difference between fourth and fifth is a decent chunk. So the Pirates pretty much have the fourth spot. Maybe the third spot. Definitely not first or second. Baltimore is just, they're 40-89. So the Pirates are like 8 games in front of them. 8 or so wins in front of them. So they're not getting that first pick, but I think fourth at the worst is pretty much locked down. So just give me 63 wins. Give me 63-99. I would be happy with that.
That's a safe bet, and I think that's definitely achievable with a light schedule coming up in September. Yeah, I think when it comes to supporting the tank, I think with getting the first overall pick last year and then this year it seems like we're going to sit top 5, I wouldn't be too upset with that, really.
No.
And I that's why I hate when people say, no, we need to continue losing as many games as possible. Look, getting the first overall pick this year would probably catch MLB on fire, and I don't think it would happen at all. And if people still think that would happen, I would tell them to slow their roll just a little bit and settle for maybe the second, third, or fourth overall pick. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? We're going to probably get a decent pick no matter what, and I hope we do. But, I mean, when it comes to this, with the team of, I'm going to say it, misfits, and I don't mean to say it in a negative connotation, you know, winning games is never a bad thing with this sort of team, especially that's dealt with a lot of question marks in some positions this year and is going through pretty much a roster shakeup. I wouldn't be too mad at all if they continue to win games. I think, if anything, that should shed some positive light going forward for the Pirates, and I think it should be encouraged. And I'm going to spread that until the day I die. I think it should be encouraged that the Pirates are actually winning some games now, whether it's short-lived or long-lived.
Right. No, I agree with that 100%. At one point, I was Team Tank. I wanted that first overall pick, but I just think that's not – it's not achievable at the moment. So, like I said, they're pretty much locked into 4 right now. They would have to win a lot of games to not be, which I don't see happening. So, I'm going to cheer for them to win as many games as possible going down the stretch. I don't want to see 100 losses. And like you said, it'll – I don't really think momentum into the next season is a thing, but it would put a better taste in our mouths going into the off season if the Pirates are able to win some games this month, and I think they will. Let me ask you this. Of the new Pirates that they've gotten from the trade deadline deals / random pickups like Yoshi, who has been your favorite Pirate to watch, new Pirate?
Are we including John Nogowski in this?
Yeah, you can if you want.
Okay, I'll exclude him just, I think, because everybody knew that I loved John Nogowski when we first got him, so I'll exclude him for this. It's really a toss-up because there's a few people that I actually love listening or love watching on the Pirates right now that we picked up. Yoshi, obviously, is a fan favorite. Dylan Peters, I am really loving just because of his efficiency. He doesn't rely on the strikeout. Once he pitches to contact, he's a Ray Searidge's dream. And I think he's really executing it. He's another lefty in our rotation, and I love seeing that. Bryce Wilson, obviously a highly touted prospect coming from the Braves. I think if I had to narrow it down to one, I would say Peters, just because he's been very effective on the mound, and he's a lefty. We don't really see too much of that with the Pirates. So I'm going to go with him as my probably favorite as of right now.
That's cool. I'm going to go with Chavis. He kind of – I said he gives me Dan Ugla vibes. He also kind of gives me, like, Steve Pierce vibes a little bit, like batting stance.
Yes.
Vibes. But, yeah, I mean, I just love middle infielders with pop. And strikeouts have been the biggest bugaboo for Chavis. But 22 plate appearances so far with the Pirates, he's only struck out 4 times. So if he can limit the strikeouts, he's not really a walks guy. Even his rookie season when he was pretty good with Boston, his on-base was only 322, and he's never really come close to that since. That was in 2019. But, yeah, I like what I've seen from him. Only 26 years old, so he's still pretty young. And we'll see. We'll see what happens with him. Also, Yoshi, I mean, 5 home runs with the Pirates. Can't beat that. He's been electric. 5 home runs and only 30 plate appearances. I mean, what's better than that? 30 plate appearances, like 30, 31 plate appearances. So he's been nice as well. And I do like Bryce Wilson. I do like what I've seen from Peters. I've honestly liked what I've seen from pretty much everyone. We know Hoy Park got sent down to the minor leagues, but even him in his short time, he kind of struggled there towards the end, but I like what I see from him. Like, he's a step up from the Kai Toms and Dustin Fowlers of the world. So,
yeah.
So I like a lot of these new acquisitions so far, and they've kind of added a little spice to the team, and they've been fun to watch to an extent.
If I can throw in, watching Diego Castillo, if we're going to talk about the Holmes trade a little bit and who he got there, watching Diego Castillo in Altoona, because I've been to a few of those games that he's played, dude goes up there and he's not patient. I don't say that in a bad way. He goes up there and he's looking to get on base, and he's I think this is a pretty accurate description. Whenever I went to one of the most recent games, had like an up and in fastball. It wasn't like it was super slow. It was a decent speed. Clocked it to left center and ran it out for a double. So he's got a little bit of pop to his swing, and I love seeing that considering the Pirates are sort of a power-hungry team. I think that he's got a promising future, and I think if anything out of this entire Clay Holmes deal, I think he's the one that we're going to be talking about going forward. Hoy Park, yeah, he's doing fine, but I think Diego Castillo, with his recent string of success in Altoona, and I think as he progresses and evolves throughout the Pirates system, I think he's going to be a huge threat, and a threat that nobody really thought that was going to blossom as much as he will. I hope that happens. Obviously, there's a big jump between AA and the MLB, but you know, with the way he's been playing down there in AA, I am excited for when he finally reaches the big stage, because I feel like he's going to be a very big force to reckon with, especially against these NL Central pitchers, barring them, you know, getting these teams sort of picking up more flamethrowers and they stick with their normal, I'm trying to think of a good name for them, but they're a lot of the pitchers that throw like curveballs or breaking balls.
Finesse.
Something like that. What? Yeah. But yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there because I feel like we don't highlight the minor leagues a little bit, and if we do, we maybe touch on the surface of AAA a little bit. But yeah, Diego Castillo, from what I've seen, he's been looking really good for the Pirates system. He's looking like a promising prospect, a promising return in the Holmes deal. Oh, yep. Also, today in Greensboro, I don't know if you saw that, they were up 19-11 at one point, and a pair of first-round prospects have been doing a lot of the work. Nick Gonzalez, 3 homers, 8 RBIs, and Henry Davis, 2 blasts as well.
When was that?
Today.
I thought Davis was on the IL.
No, it might be a different Davis. I saw Davis had 2 home runs, and I thought it was Henry, because Jonah Davis, if we're talking about him, I don't think he's doing too much. Oh, wait, yeah, it's Davis the outfielder. Son of a bitch, they fooled me. But either way.
Yeah, unfortunately, Henry Davis is on the IL with an oblique, so I would assume they're probably just going to shut him down. But yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Paguero had 2 hits, Gonzalez 4 hits, 8 RBIs. That's crazy. 4 for 7. Triolo, he's been nice. 4 for 5. He's been has been good. Yeah, I will say, Greensboro, I need to get to a curve game next season when some of those guys start getting called up. They are definitely nice. And just to touch back on Diego Castillo, common theme, we like these middle infielders with a little bit of pop. He's got 16 home runs total in Double-A this season in about, 370 plate appearances. So that's nice. And with the Pirates specifically, 282, 342, 445, and he's walking more than he's striking out. So you love to see that. Just 23, perhaps sometime next year, I would guess he might get called up. We'll see. But yeah, he's definitely good. And on Fangraphs, they have him as a 40-plus future value. So that could potentially rise up to 45, 50 future value. So I definitely like what I've seen from him. And like you said, Greensboro, 19 runs today. And you look at Greensboro's record, they're 64-38. That team is stacked.
Yep.
So, and another nice little thing, Tanaj Thomas got the win today, even though he gave up 4 earned runs, and the ERA is at 4.45, but not too bad, Tanaj Thomas in the famous Max Moroff / Jordan Luplo deal. He's a nice little prospect for the Pirates. But yeah, Greensboro's good. The Curve are good. Indianapolis, meh. They're not great, but it doesn't really matter. Those two teams. Bradenton, also really good at low A. So the minor leagues, they're stacked. They are stacked for sure. And you'll love to see it.
Yeah, and I mean, if these prospects continue to deliver and, you know, they finally reach the majors, it's going to be an exciting generation for the Pittsburgh Pirates if they can continue to, you know, do what they're doing now. Now, hopefully they don't come up and flop, and obviously nobody wants that, especially with what Cherington's giving up to get them. But at the same time, holy crap, these guys, they're putting on a show down there, and I can't wait to see what they can bring in a few years. Hopefully they bring us a world title.
Hopefully. Dare I say they're bringing in a new Pirates generation? Everybody shout.
Let's go, Bucks.
Let's go, Bucks. Quinn Priester, also in Greensboro. He's been pretty good. 85 innings pitched. The ERA is at 2.86. You'll love to see that. So
immaculate inning under his belt.
Yep. That was pretty awesome. So,
and I think he had a 13 strikeout game last performance for him.
Yeah, he's been really picking it up. So good for him. Anything else before we hop off here?
Also keep your eye on Shelby Miller. He's been doing pretty good down there in AAA, and I think if they're going to continue the roster shakeups, I think he's a contender to come up and pitch for the MLB if they want to see what he can give. But other than that, I am good to go.
Shelby Miller, that's great. I'm looking up his stats now. I forgot he was even with the team.
Me too, but he got the win today with Indy, so I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, I mean, 3.09 ERA in AAA right now, just 23 innings pitched. Maybe he could be a bullpen guy of sorts. We'll see what happens. 35 strikeouts, you'd love to see that, just 9 walks. He's only 30. I would not have guessed that. I thought he'd be a little older. It is funny. He was an all-star in 2014. Had his famous year. We had a 3.02 ERA, but his record was 6-17. And I don't know if that messed with his mind a little bit, but ever since then, losing all those games, he's been terrible. But we'll see what happens. Perhaps the Pirates give him a chance. I want to say, too, I forgot that the rosters are only expanding from 26 to 28 for September call-ups. So we're not going to be able to see as many guys as I potentially thought we would, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. And I think this year, I think they're going to see that 28's not enough, and I think they might expand it a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. It's like a COVID thing, but I mean, can't make it 35.
I mean, I think they could possibly seat him above the dugout, because I know PNC Park don't fill up that much, so why not?
You definitely could. You definitely could. All right, Jake, where are we following you on Twitter at?
You can follow me at _RadioJake for all your Pirates cynical needs.
Yep, that's also what I do on Twitter, Pirates cynical needs, at Nathan_Hirsch. And, of course, check out Bucks Dugout on Twitter, at Bucks Dugout. We will be back probably after the White Sox series. We'll see. If not, we'll be back after the Cubs series, and we'll be talking Buccos.
Hell yeah.
All right, friends, have a great rest.